Good morning, everyone. We're going to start with a prayer on this beautiful day. Loving Father, we're so grateful that you are the God of the night, the God of the day, the God of all things, that with you hope is renewed every morning. Every day we see your sun arise. We know you are there. You are the power of the universe. You are in the huge things, the mighty things. And you are in the small things, the things deemed insignificant in this world. And you are there. You're in our hearts and our minds. You're with us. We thank you for that. We thank you for your care, your love, your guidance, your word. We pray as we open it today, you'll bless us. And we might understand you more and grow closer to you. For all that we have, we thank you through our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. So before I start, because this is my last talk on Proverbs for the week, I just wanted to say a few thank yous to people. Thank you to all the very talented musicians here. I think we've got a great bunch of... I'm not a musician, I wish I was, but I'm not. thank you to all the people who show their creative spirit in our community. It's a great blessing to have such diversity and yet such harmony. A special thank you to Wayne and Joy. They put in so much work, and let's put our hand together now. Wayne's one of those people who you can always depend on to follow you up with emails fairly rapidly. But they do a great job. And it's great to have people who believe in putting back into our community. And I think that's really important. Thank you to all the people who've made the week what it is, who contribute in so many ways that are unseen often, but go about their tasks and make it better for everyone. So thank you for everyone's input and for the people that have come here and shared the fellowship that we enjoy together. So today, you've got Mr. Squiggle back. After Anthony's wonderful presentation last night, we're back to Mr. Squiggle. And I'm very appreciative to Luke Taporis, who lent me this, because otherwise it would have been a big whiteboard and it wouldn't have worked at all. But I should say perhaps Qantas is involved in that too, Luke, but thank you very much. So today's study is called A Day in the Life of... A Day in the Life of... It's a popular phrase. It could be the day in the life of a few people, but it's the day in the life of us. I have made up lots of names over my life. I have this thing for making up names. I don't know why. There's no explanation for it. So I've put it down as the day in the life of Peter Patriotis. I hope there's no one here by that name. I didn't think there would be. He's a good Greek boy. So, but what I want us to do is to see how the Proverbs can unfold in our daily life. It's an interesting thing that both Anthony and I have talked about potential. Now, we didn't know one another and we never talked about anything before we met at this Bible school. But both of us had this idea of potential in our head. So I want to talk about the potential of a day, of a week, of a life. And the basis for this study is in Proverbs 22, if you could come to there. Proverbs 22 says this, verse 17, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise and apply your heart to my knowledge." It's an appeal. And then it says, "For it will be pleasant if you keep them within you." if all of them are ready on your lips. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily just ready on your lips. It means that it's there with you as a reservoir, so that in the circumstances of daily life, to your mind will come a proverb. And you might not necessarily say it, but you will observe it. And it will teach you through the course of daily life. There are so many proverbs that help with our daily life. We have to make so many decisions. Sometimes we can have 4 decisions on one thing, and they're all reasonably good, and they're all moral, but which one is the best one is sometimes the decision we have to make. And it's not easy, but if we keep this as a reservoir, it can help us. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." How true has that been in our life's experience so far? We have no inkling. We don't even know what this day may bring forth. But if we're walking it with God and we have that reservoir, it allows us to tap into the wisdom from above to deal with the circumstances. Now, sometimes circumstances overtake us for which we have no explanation. We know that. But at least if we have this reservoir, it can help us sort through. Now, there's Proverbs for the beginning of the day and the end of the day. Proverbs 27 verse 14, and I love this proverb. 27:14 says this, and I'll read a lot of these, because we'll go through quite a few. "Whoever blesses his neighbour with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, will be counted as cursing." Have you got one of these people living in your street? That's their early morning face. Hi! Now, there's various sorts of people. We're not all the same sort of people. We're just not. So you might be that sort of morning person. You just don't, the phrase, "I don't do mornings." But the guy that's next door who's like that, when you're like that, he's not going to get a blessing. Right? "Go back to bed," people would like to say to him. It's like the guy who starts up the lawnmower at 6 a.m. on the weekend. Every neighbourhood's got to have one of those just to teach us patience. Likewise, at the end of the day, and I'm going to read this one. I love this one. I used this on a brother who used to be in our ecclesia, dearly beloved by us. He lived with us for a while when he first came from interstate. I'll read it for you. "Withdraw your foot from your neighbour's house, lest he weary of you and hate you." Remember that one when you've got someone at the house at 3 a.m. that won't leave. Quote them the Bible. We used to get out of the house in stages with him. We'd get to the lounge room from the dining room. We'd get to the front door. We'd get to the front porch. We'd go down a few stairs. And then in the end, I'd say, "Bye-bye. Read the signs." Andrew, I wouldn't mind if he was here because I think it's still relevant. How do we go getting out of bed? You know, you've got to get up. Well, most people have to get up. But Solomon talks about people that can't get out of bed. "As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed." We probably all know that one. There's the bed. There's the sluggard. He's like a door, and all that happens is it goes from one side to the other. If you've got a door with rusty hinges, that's what it's like. I can't get up. And they believe they can't get up. They're actually attached to the bed. We talked about projecting forward in your life. Some people can't project out of bed. They can't even think about getting out of bed. Solomon observed these things. They're great word pictures. There's the wonderful proverb of the sluggard in 22:13. It says, the sluggard says, there's a lion outside. So he peeks out the window. So I can't go out there. Are you kidding me? That's a jungle. How many people have said that? It's a jungle out there. That's a phrase they use in advertising. Or I will be murdered in the streets. You want me to get up and go out there? Really? Now, I have to put a caveat on this. In some parts of Sydney, you could well be murdered in the street. So there could be some truth to this. But they're wonderful word pictures. You know, when I first started working, I was 16, started my apprenticeship, and I knew I had to be getting up at 5 a.m. every morning. So I went and bought an alarm clock with my first week's wages. And the tune it played was Dreaming of Home and Mother. And I can still remember it. It was the most awful tune. And I put it on the other side of the room because it made me get out of bed and shut it off. So sometimes we have to take steps to get ourselves out. Planning the day's agenda is what we have to do. But Solomon says some people don't even do that. There's so many word pictures in Proverbs about just sheer laziness, we would say. Observable laziness. I'm going to read this to you from 6 verses 9 to 11. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. The consequence, poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. It will be taken away from you. Do you ever notice how people who are like that? And I'm not pointing any fingers here, by the way, right? I don't know what your morning activities are. But people who are like that wonder where it all went wrong. It all went wrong because it never started, right? It just didn't happen. And sometimes that is what it's like. Now, we've all observed situations of sheer laziness, right? And sometimes you can't quite believe it. I'll tell you one. This is some years ago. It's a true story. I went home and told my wife this because I could not believe it. And this will resonate with people that are in a drought like in Armidale. I had to go to a job in Rosebery, which is sort of inner city Sydney. Leaking tap. In an apartment. I get there, the front door's slightly ajar in the apartment. I can smell marijuana heavily in the air. I walk in. There's about six young people, all stoned as mullets, around a table. And I walk in, I said, hi, I'm the plumber. And I said, hey, man, it's cool. You want to join us? I said, no, I'm not here to punch cones. I'm here to fix your tap. I said, you've got a dripping tap. And as I said it, I could hear a noise coming from one of the other rooms. I said, is that it? I said, that's not a dripping tap. That's a waterfall. I went in. The tap was going full bore into the basin. The water was just coming over onto the bathroom floor. It was flat out. And I walked out and I said, how long has it been like that? They said, oh, 3 or 4 months. I was shocked. I said, how could you leave something like that for 3 or 4 months? Do you know how much water that's wasted? It's cool, man. I said, it's not cool, you know? It was just stuck in my mind. That's the epitome of sheer laziness. No initiative. Why is it that sometimes we struggle to get out of bed. And I'll confess, I struggle to get out of bed. Or we don't do things. There is lack of what? Motivation. It's a word we all know. We are not motivated. Now, that applies to spiritual things too. You can get these proverbs and you can see a daily natural application. You can also see a spiritual application. Solomon says that he went by the garden of the lazy person and behold, it was overgrown with weeds. There's an observation. You could see that. I mean, I'm a bit Satan on thin ice here because if I don't mow my lawn when I get back, the local bush care group will give me an award for returning our block to its natural state. But think about that in spiritual terms. How often do we do spiritual weeding? How often do I let my mind get overtaken with stuff that I know I should be pulling out and I just let it grow and take over? Jesus again told parables about this, didn't he? Parable of the sower. The word gets choked and we become unfruitful. You know, it's sometimes we start something and we have the motivation to start, but we don't finish. Has anyone ever done that? Has anyone ever not done that? Is a better question, right? All of us have done that. There's a proverb about that. I love this one. Proverbs 12, 27. Whoever is slothful will not roast his gain, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. Now, just think about this. A slothful man will not roast his gain. What's he actually saying? He said, he went out there and he caught it. Now, it's hard work. It's not like going to the butcher shop and saying, I want 2 kilo of lamb chops. He goes out there. He pursues in the hunt. He takes down the quarry. And he gets back. He said, I couldn't be bothered. Now, I look at my life and that's what I've done. In so many things. I've got almost there. But I've never received the benefit of the effort that I've put in, of the pursuit that I'd undertaken. I never got the benefit. Again, you think of it in terms of spiritual things. Discipleship is like that. It's about keeping on keeping to get the benefit that God will give us. So, what about setting a day's agenda? I'm going to read this one to you from the Complete Jewish Bible. It's Proverbs 19, verse 2. I love this. The Complete Jewish Bible, for any of you who may have it, it's fantastic for Proverbs. It gives the Jewish idioms of the Proverbs, and so much of it is Hebrew idiom. But it says this, to act without knowing how you function is not good. Has anyone here ever acted without knowing how they function? I do it often. So what happens is this. That's what happens in the morning. I'm going around and around in circles. It's not good. So you might get out of bed, but then you're like this. What have I got to do next? The kids are crying, something, the phone's ringing, all of that sort of stuff. He said, to act without knowing how you function is not good. If you rush ahead, you'll miss your goal. So how do we set a day's agenda? Start it with God. Calm yourself. Settle yourself. Give it to God. In all your ways, Proverbs 3, verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. So we give it over to God. Now, Peter Patriotis goes to work via the train. I don't know if many of you go to work via train. I think you're blessed if you do. I wish I did. I have to battle the traffic all the time. But if you're walking the streets, you see things that other people drive past. How many of you have seen homeless people? Yeah? We've all seen homeless people, haven't we? You see them a lot more in other places in the world than probably you do in Australia, but we have homeless people. We have quite a few in Sydney. There are so many verses about helping people in Proverbs. There are so many verses about the poor in Proverbs. Now, when we read Proverbs, of course, it's in its context of Israel, God's people, Solomon's the king, administrators, but it's governed by the law of God. Now, under the law, the poor, the homeless, the poor, the widow, the stranger, they are all to be provided for. God's a gracious God. So you weren't to reap the corners of your field. You weren't to go over and keep beating the olive trees till you got every last one off. God made provision, but Israel didn't like that. And so you get prophets like Amos putting the boot into Israel because they were not looking after the poor. They didn't make provision for the widow and the stranger. Within our community, we have a lot of opportunity to help those who don't have what we have. Let's be honest. We are, as a community, and I don't say this is a complete generalisation, but most of us are comfortable middle-class people. I would say that. I would say that of myself. How much do we often think about people that don't have what we have? I mean, we've got brothers and sisters around the world who are in desperate need, who need welfare constantly. They don't have the structures that we have, we're blessed with in Australia. But even that aside, what about the homeless person? Is there ever any condemnation, ever, in Scripture of giving? I've never read it. Would Jesus ever say to us, you did the wrong thing, you should have kept the money or whatever in your pocket? I don't think so. Do we have a survey form that we carry around and we give it out to someone who's homeless and say, fill that in and then I'll have a think about it? No, we don't. But you know what? We don't have a survey form, but we often assume things that we don't know about. I'm going to tell you this story. This story is 40 years old. It happened when I was 20, so I'm 60. And I've never forgotten this. This was such a powerful lesson to me. I was working in the city, in Sydney, big construction sites. I used to... Could I have a glass of water? Sorry, I'm just starting to go hoarse. Thank you. Oh, here's my stunning assistant. Look at that. Hey. After work, I used to often walk around town. I'm a weirdo, as my kids always tell me. I used to look for people to talk to. I used to carry a little Bible in my pocket. And it was Christmas time. It's a week before Christmas, and I was up near the town hall. There's big Christmas trees, and there's a lot of people, a lot of activity. You know when things are happy, and there's a bit of a buzz? There was a buzz going around the town hall, and I was kind of walking around there. And I saw two men, and they were homeless. They're middle-aged, probably in their 50s, maybe late 40s. But there was something unusual about them. They were quite well-dressed, but they were completely unkempt. Their hair, beard, they had bottles in brown paper bags. And they were sitting in an alcove to the side of the town hall. My curiosity always gets the better of me. So I went over and I sat down. I said, how are you guys going? What's happening? One of them said to me, do you want to hear a poem? He said, I wrote a poem about Christmas. I said, I'd love to hear your poem. He read me out this absolutely sublime poem. It was absolutely stunning. I wish I'd had a phone, I would have recorded it. And I said, that's incredible. I said, can I ask a question? I said, what happened? Why have you ended up here? This makes me emotional just talking about it. And one of them said, Three weeks ago, I lost my wife and three kids in a car accident. And he said, I haven't been able to go home since then. I can't face it. I can't walk through the door. So he said, I'm on the streets until I can come to terms with it. And I said to the other guy, what are you doing here? And the other guy had no hair and he had a massive scar on his head, huge. And he said, this man saved my life. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He's a neurosurgeon. And he said, he saved my life. He took the tumour out and we've been friends ever since. And he said, I will not leave him on the street alone. And the neurosurgeon pulled his card out of his pocket and gave it to me. I was just completely stunned. I had nothing to say. I had no words. And I took the card and I said, I'm really glad I had this conversation with you. God bless you. I hope it works out. And me being me, I lost the card and I was only 20. And I wish I still had that. But what I remembered is this. We never know the circumstances. Unless we've been intimately involved in someone's life. We just don't know. So when you have opportunity, and we don't do it all the time, but when you have opportunity, and it doesn't have to be money, it can be food, it can be whatever. When you have opportunity, take it. I've missed too many opportunities in my life. There have been too many times I've kept my hand in my pocket and I haven't been gracious. God will never condemn you for being gracious. Never. Solomon observed that and he said, you know what? Giving to the poor is like giving to God. I'm going to read this for you. 19 verse 17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord and he will repay him for his deed. How would God repay? Do you imagine if you gave someone $20, God would give you $20 back? Not at all. What do we know about God? He's generous. God repays in ways we can never understand. God repays in ways that we don't even think about. We get a blessing from God. It's amazing how God repays. Solomon says in Proverbs 11 that there are those who give freely, 11 verse 24, yet grow the richer, another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Be generous when we have opportunity. But more than that, take opportunity to be generous with what God has blessed us with. You know, Nelson Rockefeller was a very wealthy man, American multi-millionaire, and he kept all his money to himself until he got to the age of 73. Jewish American, extremely bright, very capable, but miserly. You go to America now, you will find there's Rockefeller centres everywhere. Why? Because at the age of 73, someone convinced him that he needed to do something with his wealth, not just accumulate it. If you read his story, he said, it completely changed my life. It's the best thing I ever did. It gave me life when I was trying to hang on to it. I was miserly. I was shut down. When I opened my heart and I opened my wallet, it completely changed my perspective on life. And that's what it can do. You know, Solomon talks a lot, and maybe Peter Patriotis comes across this on his way to the station, Solomon talks a lot about the strange women. Solomon knew a lot about the subject, as we saw. But he says in Proverbs 1, verse 10, don't let sinners entice you. As I said the other day, we can be enticed anywhere, anytime. Now, we are so contactable through so many various means that the temptations are manifold. But it still can be someone on a street corner. It still can be someone like that. That happened to me in Darlinghurst, in inner Sydney. It was early summer in January. It was hot. There wasn't many people around. I was working. Stopped, got my tools out of my truck, went in, did some work. A young woman came to me, very attractive. She said, would you like a girl? I said, no, I'm here for plumbing. And there was no one around. I said to her, it's tough, eh? And she said, yeah, it is. We sat on the curb and I said, so why? And she said, I've got a baby. I've got a heroin addiction. And this is the only way I know how to make a living. The world glamorises this stuff, you know? We glamorise sex. It's presented in such a way that it does lure people in. But the truth behind this stuff is so different. I mean, I felt so sorry for this girl. She was maybe only 22, 23. And I thought, well, my daughters were younger at the time, but what if that was my daughter? One of my three daughters, how would I feel about that? As a father, that's just devastating. And while we were talking, guy pulls up over the road, winds down his window, how much? And she went over, jumped in his truck and they drove off. I was just sat there feeling empty, sad. Our world hasn't changed. You know, it's way more accessible now than it was then, but it hasn't changed. Our nature hasn't changed. It's the way we operate. That's why Solomon, what he says is so powerful. It was Israel, but it's now too. It's so relevant. So Peter Patriotis gets to work. I don't know how you are when you get to work, whether you're one of these people. You know, some people aren't like that until they've had their morning coffee. Don't talk to me, right? Don't talk to me. Some people have so many of those during the day that they're like that. They're wired. What do you like with people? Right, we all have days where we don't want to talk, don't we? We all have days when, oh, can everyone just leave me alone? I can't deal with it. Can you go away? I deal with the public all day, every day. It's not easy. It's a stress. Some days you just don't want to do it, but you have to. That's what you do for a living. Be happy. Can I say that? People think happiness is a destination. That's just a product that gets sold, isn't it? Be happy. Happiness is not a destination. You can't buy it. If you could buy happiness, the happiest people in the world would be all these movie stars with their billions of dollars. They're not happy. They're all in rehab. Or they're undergoing some sort of therapy. They've got so many therapists. That's not happiness. What God is trying to tell us is this, that happiness comes as a consequence of living His way. Do you know when I've been the most unhappy in my life? When I haven't lived God's way. When I've tried to do it my way. That's when I've been the most unhappy. God says, And we can't always be happy. You know, there's some people are impossibly cheerful. But He says this in verse 15 of chapter 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. I love that. There's always something to keep them sustained because of their approach. And you will notice that people are like that. They're nice people to be around. They have friends because people want to be with people that are happy. I mean, my mind goes to this guy I was dealing with in business a few years ago. His name was Steve. And every time I phoned him, I'd say, Steve, how are you? And he'd go, I've had better years. Every time. It was, I've had better years. Like, and you're only in February or something. He's already projected himself through the rest of the year. It's just not going to work out. Don't be like that if you can help it. I know we go through difficulties in our life. I've been through a lot of difficulties. I've been through a lot of struggles. I won't bore you with them. And I know that it doesn't always work the way we think it should. And it's hard. But if you're happy in yourself, it will generate to other people. It will help you and them. Now, Solomon talks a lot also about money. It's not a subject we like to talk about. No one likes to talk about it. But it's there, and it's there for a reason. It's there because it is a difficulty for us. There's a reason why Solomon says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Now, all of us would say, don't give me poverty. But, oh, we struggle with the second part of that, don't we? I can't quite say it and mean it. I'd rather have the riches. It brings its own problems. We see that. Solomon said, riches don't profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Remember Steve Jobs? I use the word remember. Why? He's dead. Do you know how much he was worth, they estimated at the time he died? $11.2 billion. Now, I know for some of you that's probably not a big deal, but but to me, that would be a really big deal, honestly. $11.2 billion? You couldn't spend that in your lifetime, could you? Honestly, you could give it away, but you couldn't spend it in your lifetime. That's what it is worth. Solomon says that in the end, it doesn't profit. So Peter Patriotis gets a really big job offer. What do we do when we get a really big job offer? We've got to think about it. How is it going to impact us? Where is my focus going to be? You can go through and pick out all the proverbs about money, but the main thing is this. What's going to be in the centre? It's back to our original study, isn't it? What is going to be in the centre? Is it going to replace God? We can't make the decision for someone else. I can't make it for my family, my friends. I can only make it for me. And when you get something like that, you really need to think about it. Some people can handle it, other people can't. All of us have different challenges. What might be a real temptation to me? You say, oh, I've got no issues with that. Absolutely no issues. But your temptation might be something completely different. We have to know where our focus is. Is it God? Or are we going to be pushing God out here and replacing it with something else? Better is a little. Proverbs 15, verse 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Have you ever noticed how often people with great wealth are in turmoil? Their lives are in turmoil. A brother who used to be in our ecclesia said this to me years ago. He made a lot of money. And he said, I used to think, he left the ecclesia, he went out for about 30 years. He was very, very successful in business. And he said, I used to drive around with never less than 20 or 30,000 cash under the front seat. And he said, I thought that money protected me. He said, it took me 20 years to realise it doesn't. He said, what happened was this. I ended up with the money, which I thought was the protection. And he said, I realised after 20, 25 years that rather than it protecting me, I was spending my life running around in circles, protecting it. And he said, I completely lost my focus. You know, he came back to our meeting after 30 years. You talk to him now, completely different man. As I said, it's not a subject we like to talk about, it, but it's real, and it's very real in today's world, in our comfortable middle-class Australia. What about when you're having lunch in the lunchroom? So Peter Patriotis goes down. The boys have invited him to the pub for lunch. This used to happen to me a lot on building sites. Building sites, if you've worked on building sites, you know what I'm saying. They're hard places to work. When I was a young guy, it was always on. Come to the pub. There was one building site when I was young. I used to be the only guy left from the plumbing company I worked for on site after lunch. Every other one of them used to go to the pub and not come back. They'd come back drunk in the afternoon. Right? Solomon says in Proverbs 4, make straight paths for your feet. Now, I knew that if I went down there, the last thing I would be was straight when I came back. But they used to come back and they would trip onto the job site. They were absolutely plastered. And I'd be the only person, not I'm putting myself up in some sort of halo, but I'd been warned not to get involved. Don't let sinners entice you. But what if you don't go there and you're sitting in the lunchroom and someone says, and in today's world, this is so topical, look what's going on in the world. It's crazy. Where's this all heading? What do? Slink down further in your seat and pretend you never heard? Get up and excuse yourself? What do you say? How often do we take an opportunity to tell someone about the gospel, about salvation? Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to slaughter. That's our world. They're stumbling along in the darkness. They don't know over what they're stumbling. If you say, behold, we didn't know this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? Will he not repay every man according to his work? We never know where our word lodges. Any of you know Brother Colin Brown in New Zealand? Some of you would, yes, the Hugheses, of course, know him. Colin told me this story some years ago. He's in the Nelson Ecclesia. He said, I used to sit in the lunch shed at the company I worked for every day, and he said there was a man who was very interested in the Bible, and he said the two of us used to sit, and he said I would tell him about the gospel every day. And he said this went on for a couple of years, but he said nothing happened. He said there was another fella who always sat in our lunchroom at the same time as us, but he never ever joined the conversation. He said he sat in a far corner and he was always reading his paper. He said, I thought nothing of it. He said, 29 years later, on a street in Timaru, another town in New Zealand, he said, I was walking down the street and he said, a hand came up and tapped me on the shoulder. He said, I turned around. He said, it wasn't the man that I spent 2 to 3 years talking to the Bible about. He said, it was the fellow that sat in the corner. And he said, he put out his hand and said, Brother Colin, how are you?
And Colin went, brother? And he said, I got baptized 3 months ago. He said, you thought I was never listening, didn't you? He said, I was hiding behind the newspaper, taking it all in. It just took me a long time to do something about it. We never know. That's why he says, take opportunity. Do it while you can. Because it may not come again. Some people, you know, we ever only see once. I see a lot of people in my life once. What am I going to do with that one occasion? If I get the opportunity to talk to them about God. There have been so many opportunities I've missed, so many times I should have stepped in. You know when your heart feels like it's going to come out of your mouth? It's bang, bang, bang in your chest. Swallow it and say it anyway. Just do it. It might be the only time they ever hear something like that. We live in a world that by and large has cast off restraint. They need to hear the message of the Bible. They need to hear that God wants them. They need to hear that they have a potential that goes way beyond anything they could have thought of when their focus is back here at the beginning. Just like we needed to hear it and someone talked to us about it. Solomon says, Proverbs 29 verse 18, we know this, but I'm going to read it from the Complete Jewish. He says, without a prophetic vision, and this is why I like it, because some of the other translations just say without a vision. Complete Jewish says, without a prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But he who keeps the word is happy. See, there's a lot of people who have a vision. Steve Jobs had a vision. You meet a lot of people that have a vision, but it's not a prophetic vision. There's nothing that's going to last about that. What particularly won't last is them. So they need to hear the message. Now, we're all together this week and we're enjoying fellowship and we're away from a lot of the challenges we face in daily life. Next week, when we go back, it's going to be a different story, isn't it? What have we got to present to people? What have I got to say to someone? Monday morning, Tuesday morning, when I'm on the phone. Think about it. Think about what he said in that first proverb we read in chapter 22. Let the word be in your mouth. Ready at the occasion. To just say something. To just open out a conversation that might show them something they've never thought of. You know, sometimes the week goes by and we haven't known how we function and we get to the memorial meeting and we refocus. And one of my favourite proverbs is this. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. And I often think that on a Sunday morning when my life, when my working week has been a bit of a tornado. And I come and I sit down and I think, you know, this is the only time in the last 7 days that I thought about God. But I'm here now. And a dry crust is the best meal I'll ever eat because it's peace with God. It changes our perspective. A couple of proverbs to finish with because I've got to wind up. The path, Proverbs 4 verse 18, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. As I said at the outset, this is about God wanting us to fulfill our potential. This is not a journey that comes to a stop. This is a journey with God. It is a forever journey if we walk it with God. And we can see the light dawning of the kingdom of God.
And yes, we will fall. We fall when we're here. We will fall when we're back out there. I will fall next week. I know that. There's only one person that never fell. That's not us. Solomon says this, the righteous falls seven times and rises. When it doesn't work out, get back up. When it's not what we thought it'd be, get back up. When you've walked down a dead end, turn around. Go back to God. He's there. One last one to leave you with, and this is one of my favourites. Well, two. Be zealous for God. Have a passion in your life for God. Don't be lukewarm. Be passionate. Proverbs 23, verse 17. Be zealous for the fear of the Lord. For surely there is a reward and your hope will not be cut off. And then the final one, which I try and carry around, I'm going to read for you. Proverbs 15, verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. Make that your goal. Make that your passion. Every day when you get up, the pursuit of God's righteousness. And we know and we are assured that on that journey and in that pursuit, we're in the hand of God and we walk with our Lord Jesus Christ.